Blog Talk Radio.
To start your show now, press 1 to hear more.
It appears that the host has already dialed into the show. Only one host is allowed per show. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Let me explain something to you. The student to teacher radio show, sponsored by White Apple Institute. is about helping people to recognize that the student is one who is willing to learn. And I'm sure that all of us can associate with that. Willing to learn. Not necessarily academic, but life lessons. And the teacher is one who is willing to share those life lessons that are learned. Hence, that is student to teacher. And we are all at one time in our lives, interchangeably, students and teachers. We go through our whole lives like that, don't you agree? So today, what our students and teachers from all over the world, because this show is broadcast globally and we get male, female messages in and chats. By the way, the chat line is open. So if any of you don't want to get on the actual live call, make sure you go into the chat and give us any comments or suggestions that you'd like to share with the audience out there. Today is, of course, all of our shows are special, have a lot of great information in them because of the people like yourself who call in or write in to White Apple Institute and let us know how you enjoy the student-teacher radio show, and we appreciate that. But today we wanted to focus on something that's been coming up a lot. And I think that when I look at over the years, the semesters that I've taught, it seems that always towards testing time, we get more students in that are talking about the anxiety of testing, having a terrible time with testing, reading, and we find out that there's some other issues going on with them, and even identify sometimes a learning disability. Now, this is a difficult subject for many, many people. And I have an example for you to really look at this morning because one of the students wrote a very intense letter of explanation about how she feels about her learning disability. And I don't think that it has a lot to do with her ethnicity necessarily, but because she's an African-American woman who is dealing with fibromyalgia and dyslexia, she is also trying to deal with the emotional aspect of explaining her so-called dis and her ability to an employer or to the teachers at the college that she attends. So I'd like to really get into talking about Miss C, I'll call her. And Miss C has a real challenge with, first off, even understanding what a learning disability is. And I can tell you, I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I can tell you that this is such a widespread problem that we're finding that, and this is statistics now, that over 25% of the dropout rate with adult learners in college is associated, of course, with financial and you know, family pressures and all of that, but that there's also usually some type of hidden learning disability, some challenge with the academic coursework, and they don't want to talk about it because of whatever taboos that they've been experiencing in their past and their childhood, or what they've heard about in society about admitting to something about that you have a learning disability. And part of that is because most people are not clear on what a learning disability is. And it goes back to many of our medical doctors and our psychologists, psychiatrists that are in the mental health profession as a whole. We don't really, we have a diagram or a definition of what learning disability is, but we have yet to really put it into context in our so-called the handbook of mental health, which is the DSM, okay? And in that DSM is where we, as all psychologists, all mental health professionals, go in and find a definition and get a code so that we can talk about how we're going to develop a treatment plan. Well, you see, it's not in, learning disabilities are not yet in this particular manual, the DSM, and we're hoping that it will be in the future, okay? And it may be, as a matter of fact, it may be in now. One of the doctors that are coming on today might be able to elaborate on whether or not a learning disability is indeed in the new DSM. But if not, what I'm trying to say, bottom line, is this, my friend, is that if you don't understand what a learning disability is, most of us categorize it under mental health. And okay, the big umbrella, it is mental. Okay, it's mental and it has to do with the brain. So, of course, you know, the person that's not familiar with the terms and how it separates learning disability from a mental illness may not be aware of what the differences are. And so when they start talking about how it's difficult for them to learn, and as Ms. C has brought out in her expose, so to speak, is that she has had panic attacks, lots of anxiety, lots of depression related to how she was going to explain that she didn't understand something something written on a piece of paper that was given to her by her supervisor, and also that she's having some trouble with understanding some things on the computer and her reading ability. So lots of things are going on with Ms. C, and the reason why I picked on her particular circumstances because I think that it kind of gives us an idea of how intense this problem is. She's a great model for us to look at. Let me just real quickly explain the definition of learning disability without getting real technical with it. You know, I try my best not to do that. But I do want you to understand that it really, truly is, they say it's not a physical disorder, but it is, because the brain is not sending the right signal for the use of our listening skills, our speaking skills, many times our speaking skills. I had a cousin that had a very, very tremendous speaking difficulty. He would hear it, but he could hear words, but he couldn't respond back. Reading, writing, reasoning or mathematical ability. Usually a learning disability is discovered in an academic environment. Does that make sense? Okay, so when we look at it that way, hopefully we can understand that there is a difference between having a learning disability and having major depressive disorder, major depression disorder, or a schizophrenia, or anxiety, or any of those other diagnoses under the mental health umbrella. Okay. However, I do want you to be aware of one thing, that many people who have learning disabilities do indeed develop depression. Obviously, if they don't understand what it is and they have taboos in their background about discussing, you know, I don't read very well, I don't speak very well, you know, I don't hear you and process things very well, I don't want to tell anybody. And it's depending on the age that you're at, okay? And we have two actual professors, we have both of them doctorates in education. They'll be coming on the show today. Professor Kelmer is ASU affiliate. Both of them, as a matter of fact, Dr. Beverly Polnitz is ASU affiliate and graduate in the doctoral program there. Both of them will have some different, kind of like a different aspect, because Professor Kelmer looks at more the K-12. Dr. Polnitz is dealing more at the college level of learning disability. So they'll be joining us a little later to expound on what I'm talking about today. So without further ado, let me get into a little bit on why we find that the learning disabled adult does not seem to graduate with any type of, the anticipated graduation date is not usually the date that they graduate. Their completion time over a course of years is usually much longer than others. And so that does indicate to us that we need to do some type of intervention to help others to understand how to overcome or manage their learning disability and talk about it more openly so that they can get accommodations. Now, hold on. When I say talk about it, I don't mean that you go in, that we're encouraging anyone to go into their employer or to a teacher or professor in their classroom or to anyone in administration and discuss the details of the learning disability. It is not necessary. And that is one of the things that I really, really school any of our students on, is that too much detail is unnecessary, because most people, unless they're in the field of mental health, are not going to understand what you're talking about when you talk about dyscalculia, which is mathematical disability. They're not going to understand this graphic of how you have trouble reading or writing. The issue that I'm trying to bring out here is to be very careful, tread gently, with sharing too much information. Okay, share it with the right person. And the right person to share it with, my friends, now listen carefully, because I want you to, especially those students out there that are in the psychology classes, okay? I want you to understand that you must be able to talk about your disability to the employer's human resource department, who has someone designated to deal with employees with disabilities. In the school setting, any school setting, even private schools that receive federal funding, are supposed to have someone that you can talk to about your disability. And those are the people that need your documentation and possibly more detail about what accommodations that you need. Now, real quickly, because I don't want to take too much time out talking a lot about this, but I just want to make sure that everyone is clear on the accommodations. Now, if you want more information, of course, we encourage you to contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org or give us a call at 480-471-8082. And talk to us to explain this further about the accommodations and anything else you want to know about learning disabilities. And I can't forget, okay, I can't forget to acknowledge that our producers, Malvina Sullivan and Kim Owens, have really been working very hard to generate interest in the show. We're reaching 75,000 listeners now, and we appreciate that. But the only reason why we can keep this show going is with your contribution. So I'm mentioning that again to you because if you go to WhiteAppleInstitute.org, there's a donation button on there, and you can actually donate whatever you can, the cost of a cup of coffee to a couple of hundred, whatever you want to do to help our show to continue to succeed and reach out to students all over the world, and especially here in the American education system. That have any type of disability learning or mental or physical. Okay, let me talk about types of accommodations real quickly, and then we'll get our guest speakers in. The types of accommodations, because many students come to me and they say, well, I have a learning disability, but, you know, I'm like, I'm not in a wheelchair, so I don't know how to, what kind of accommodation? I had one young lady that we were working with for quite a while who had told me all of her life she was told she could not go to college because of her learning disability, and she had no idea of what was actually available to her, okay? And so I talked to her about, you know, the factor that she can get someone to read material to her, okay, because she has a reading comprehension, a delay in her reading comprehension. She has some problems with taking notes, so a note taker can be provided, okay. Sometimes it's easier for students to sit a little closer in the classroom to the instructor, not only for hearing better, but also for a closer interaction, one-on-one interaction. So there's many, many things that can be done as an accommodation under what we call Americans with Disabilities Act to provide an opportunity for everyone to access education and the workforce and succeed. So I want you to put that message out there, okay? Put it out there that nothing has to stop your journey. Nothing has to stop your ability to accomplish your goals. You can do it. So I hope that if you know any veterans, especially veterans who are trying to go to school, I'm talking about, or anyone, any adult learner that is trying their best to go to school, and you know that there's something that, you know, that they're having a challenge with. You've seen them go to school and drop out and go to school and drop out over and over again. Help them out by letting them know. First off, they can listen to this show, okay? Secondly, so share it with them. And secondly, that you encourage them to get some counseling or just, you know, some intake and assessment, and that's available by me in my private practice, okay? So just go ahead and please send that message out. Okay, let's move on to inviting Dr. Beverly Polnitz into our discussion this morning. Dr. Polnitz, are you there? Okay, one moment. Okay, Dr. Polnitz, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to have you on the show. Your expertise is always welcome. You know, you have a lot of knowledge in working with students for many years. We've worked together at different colleges and different programs, and you're really appreciated. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thank you for your service on the board of White Apple Institute, Dr. Polnitz.
It's certainly a pleasure to be here. I am with the community college system here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I just want to say that my experience in working with our students who have disabilities has been a eye-opener for myself and a number of other people that I work with, including our student population. Many people tend to feel that if you have a learning disability of some sort, that you're not as smart as others may be. And I have found firsthand that students who come to my class, and I teach some pretty tough classes, I feel. I teach accounting, all three levels, statistics and statistics. And the students that come to me with learning disabilities, without question, every single one of them that have been in my classes have all, and I say all, and I have done and gotten better grades than my students who do not have learning disabilities. They have been leaders in the class. They have been exemplary students.
Thank you.
Okay, and when I get very excited when I have a learning disability student who come to my class and they hand me their slip, and I'm like, I'm so happy to have you here because I know they're going to lead the class.
Gosh, you got goosebumps coming up, God bumps coming up all over me with what you're saying right now, because if we could take that enthusiasm, that belief system that you have right there, and spread that through the to employers, to educators out there, and I really know what you're talking about because I've seen it myself, the dedication of students with learning disabilities. Even those that are not even aware of the accommodations that are available, okay, and their determination when they have an instructor that cares. See, I know, and I hope the listeners can pick it up from your voice, you have a lot of empathy, you care, and you probably already modify your lessons accordingly. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely. You're very right. I do not teach a lecture type of class. I'm more like the facilitator of the class, and we have a lot of team and group work that takes place. I allow the students to pretty much handle their own learning with my direction. And it's a very interactive class, and I count on the students' feedback and interaction in that class to make the class successful. And that's another part that the students, and I keep saying with learning disabilities only because that's what the label is. If it's a disability, it's a good one because they're leading the class. Also, I want to say that at our institution, we have a area and a whole program that has been established for people with disabilities. And the students in that area, some of them have already been offered jobs on campus. It's a program to take them from the classroom to a hands-on learning environment. And the places that we've had the students placed on campus, they're offering them positions, and they haven't even finished the program yet. It's amazing. It's amazing. I can't say enough to encourage the listeners to this show. If you have a disability and you're sitting there with people telling you you can't, get out there and do it. Yes, you can. I see it happening every day.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, because that's what we need, and if we could find more educators with and employers with that kind of attitude. And also, thank you for mentioning that program, because that's the federal funds are going out all over the United States for people to access programs where they are concurrently or at the same time working on college coursework and workforce skills, getting workforce skills. And so they get a vocational component along with an academic component so that they can truly succeed. So I appreciate you bringing that out. There are so many resources available out there. No one, especially in this day and age, has to sit at home and feel that they cannot succeed at college and in the workforce because of a learning disability or any form of anything that affects your mental or physical health, because there are so many laws now, legislation that has been fought for where people want to help other people succeed. So thank you so much for sharing that. We're going to have some comments here.
I'd like to add just one other thing. I failed to say, excuse me, where some of these you can get involved with some of these classes. It's Estrella Mountain Community College, mm-hmm. and the Southwest Skills Center is the program. Okay.